If you'll turn your Bibles tonight to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, we're going to read from verse 5. Amen, if you want to stand for the reading. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. Amen. Let's ask God to touch us and speak to our hearts here tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And God, I just pray that you'll touch and speak to everyone here tonight. Anoint your servant to speak, Lord, to each one. God, have your way and touch and bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I want to speak to you. Examine yourselves. Examine yourselves. Whether you be, the scripture says, whether you be in the faith. Amen. You've got to be in the faith, right? There are events in our lives that cause us sometimes to take a good look at ourselves. A death of a close friend or a death of a loved one, or especially if that death comes in an accident or maybe even young age, what it does sometimes, it tends to make us stop this whirlwind of life or whirlwind of activities that we call life. And it makes us look deep down inside sometimes, doesn't it? Whether we're spending the right amount of time doing certain things, whether it's spending time with the family, serving God, whatever it may be. But we need to, at times, examine ourselves. And that is what the Bible teaches us to do every time, folks, that we recall Jesus' death by participating in what we do, communion. So how do we examine ourselves? I want to look at some areas, and it'll help you with self-examination. First off, we need to examine your relationship with God. What does our relationship with God consist of? It consists of a true and total surrender of our will to the sovereign will of God. And this is an area sometimes that people have a hard time with. And we have to understand it's not our will. When you give your life to God, when you come up here and you repent of your sins and you die out and you find yourself in the baptistry and receiving the Holy Ghost, you are bought with a price. You no longer own yourself. Okay? He paid a price for you. So when you examine yourself to see where you are in your relationship with God, you have to understand, are you totally surrendered your will to His will? Okay? You have to exchange your agenda for His agenda. Now, many people who have accepted the gospel have done so because of the benefits that are received as a result of knowing God. But you see, God gives us joy and He gives us peace and healing and meaning for life and glue for marriage and the promise of heaven. And you can go on and on and on with the promises of God. And some people do it for that. So many people base their relationship with God on these benefits, but they never cross over into a relationship of total commitment. Consequently, we have an entire generation of nominal Christians, folks, who know nothing about the power with God because they know little about their true commitment, their true surrender to God. So just how committed is God to you? Well, Jesus died for you so that you could be saved. That's a pretty good commitment. Amen? Not only for you to receive the benefits of His death, but He died to have complete rule over you. Amen? Oh, we get real antsy when we hear that kind of stuff. But God died so He could have complete rule over your life. He's not going to do it by force. He's not going to grab your arm and twist it behind you. He wants you to surrender to Him. In Romans 14, verse 9, it says, "For to this end, Christ both died and rose and revived." Why? "That He might be Lord both of the dead and the living." That word Lord in the Greek is kurios. And it is supremacy, supreme in authority. Like it is a controller by implication, Mr. Respect. You have that, you know, that title of reverence to Him. Like when you say Mr. or Sir or Ma'am, it's respectful. So that's it. It's that supremacy, the Lord. So He gave a lot for your relationship. Amen. So we have to examine your relationship with God. Are you making your own decisions without regard to whether it's God's will or your will? Your decisions in life, are they God's will or are they your will? So I would be afraid to do something if God's not saying, okay, do it. That's a scary place to be. And probably if I ask everybody here tonight, we've all been in that area once, one way or another, and we find ourselves not liking it. But we so often continue to follow ourselves right back in there because we're so used to having things the way we want them. So are you making your own decisions without regard to whether it is God's will or your will? Let your relationship with God be one where He only rules. Amen? God, if you don't want it, I don't want it. If you want me to do this, I don't necessarily like that, but I'll do whatever you want me to. Amen? And then we have to examine other things also. We also need to examine our relationship with others. So before a person comes to God, God basically lives, that person basically lives for him or herself. Because man's basic nature is what? Anybody? Man's basic nature is what? Selfish. Self-centered. Me, myself, and I. That Trinity. We're self-centered, right? An unsaved person has little or no awareness of God's laws and certainly has no regard for them. Right? But when that person is saved, he or she is also transformed. How? By the power of God. That self-centeredness is replaced with a humility. It is replaced with a love for others. Why? Because He is love, is He not? Amen. That's why we need Him. We're all about ourselves until we get to know God. And in fact, the Bible clearly teaches that the basis of our relationship with others should be, as it says in Philippians 2:3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." How often do you do that? How often do you prefer somebody else? Huh? Romans 12:10 says, "Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." Are they doing that in the toilet paper aisle now? No, I don't think so. It's a crazy world we live in, isn't it, folks? I don't think they're preferring one another in that toilet paper aisle. See, we as we know Jesus, we understand these scriptures. I have to love my brother. I have to prefer them. See, unfortunately, we live in a society where we are taught to demand our rights. We got rights. Some Christians have also demanded their right to make decisions without worrying about whether others are affected or not. Amen. They say, "I can do whatever I want." Yeah, you can. I have no obligations to other believers. Well, you can look at it that way. Doesn't make it right, but you can do it, and many do. See, I believe that decisions we make, even preferring others in the church, we need to understand, okay, if I stay home tonight, am I going to cause somebody else to be not have a blessing because I'm supposed to go pray for them? We need to be concerned about everything involving not only our life, but the church, the body of Christ. Amen? And you know, folks, I've said it many times that, you know, when we bring somebody, we want them to meet the body of Christ and see how great people are. When people aren't there, we're like, oh, man, you need to think the same thing when you don't want to come. I need to go there to bless somebody. It's important to be in the house of God. Amen? It's important. And so we need to understand we have to have an obligation to be careful not to hurt or offend or you know, we have to be concerned about other people's needs, not only our own. So we can sit back and demand rights and do all these kind of things all we want. But that's not what God wants. Amen? Don't get quiet on me. The truth is, we don't have the right, and yes, we do have the obligation. Amen? In fact, if our actions confuse young Christians, and if our actions cause them to stumble, we will be accountable to God. In Matthew 18, verse 6 says, "But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone be hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of a sea." James chapter 2, verse 10 says, "For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all." The Living Bible says in James 2:10, it says, "And the person who keeps every law of God but makes one little slip up is just as guilty as the person who has broken every law there is." It's important, folks, to do what God wants us to do. Amen? See, God is committed. Hear me. God is committed to building a loving family. So much so that he does not even want us to approach him if we are in conflict with one of our brothers or sisters. In Matthew 5, 23 and 24, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift." That's awesome. God says, I don't want your sacrifice. I don't want your gift. You make it right first, then come. We'll talk. So examine your relationship with others. Are you placing your interest and your desires before others? Are you making your decisions without no consideration for how others will be affected? Is there unresolved conflict with somebody in your life? Amen. It's very important. Amen. Also, we have to examine your relationship with the church. What is this thing that we call the church? And folks, I want to encourage you to make a greater commitment to the body of Christ. Matthew 16:18 says, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," listen to this, "I will build my church." This isn't any church. This is his church. And he says, listen to this. He says, "If you'll do that, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." I want to be a part of something that hell can't come against. Amen? The church is the family of God. And those who have been saved, those who have been transformed, those who have been called out of the world, living in the community with one another. Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? The church, folks, meets together for worship. The church is accountable to one another. The church reaches out to the unsaved. Why is it important to be committed to the church? Because God is committed to it. So much that He gave His life for the church. Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave His life for it. Now, husbands, how should you treat your wives? Some of you treat your wives like you do the church. No wonder you have problems. And wives, same day, same thing. Because listen, being committed to it, the church, we have power that hell itself cannot overcome. That's what the scripture says, Matthew 6:18. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Examine your relationship to the church. Are you as committed to it as Jesus is? Amen? Are you as committed to the church as He is? Are we to be like Him? Is He not our example? Amen? Are you fully involved in the life of the church? He is. Are you and your family, folks, are you reaping the benefits that come as a result of being committed to the church of God? Philippians 3:8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Why? That I may win Christ. Folks, I'm telling you, there's benefits in doing these things that I talked about tonight. Amen. Examining your life, examining your relationship with others, examining your relationship in the church. Amen. And I'm telling you something, you cannot go wrong. And I've seen it over the years, people who weren't truly committed. It's just something you're supposed to do, and they've suffered for it. Not that people that, you know, that are committed don't have their time of suffering. But I'm telling you, I've been a part of this. I've been part of the church most of my life. Came into it when I was 4 or 5 years old. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything. If you do these things, God's word is true. There's promises that come with doing the things that God asks us to do. Let's stand here tonight. Amen. Does anybody have a question real quick? You don't want to take up any time, do you? God is good. So I pray that this will help you look at your life, examine your life, and see where you can shore up some areas in your life and let God bless you. Amen. He's a God, amen, that His word is true. His promises are true, but that His promises, folks, are all predicated with if. If you will, then I will. Amen? So if there's areas in your life that you need some help in and you're wondering why God won't help you, or are you doing your part? Amen. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your word tonight. God, I ask You to just touch and bless each one here tonight. Help us, Lord, to take this home and apply it to our lives. We give You the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, folks. Greet one another. Greet our guest in Jesus' name.